The biggest sports stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
Oh, the Green Bay Packers argument, the way it ended. But like I just said, they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears. Right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and. That game to be
Kyle, you're not feeling this.
Jason knows I'm not feeling
Kyle
it.
Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that I feel.
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Don't come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
All right, are we talking John Cena or are we talking Bucks here? What's going on? I walk in and it's wrestling? That's the biggest thing going on right now?
No.
I'd make that argument.
No.
Kyle. Come on, Kyle. John Cena heel turn for the first time in 22 years? That's big news.
So John Cena's been a good guy?
His entire career.
Because he was like a college wrestler, or an Olympian, or what? Am I confusing it?
You're thinking of Kurt Angle.
That's Kurt Angle.
Or you're thinking of Brock Lesnar.
No, I was thinking Kurt Angle.
Oh, okay. Oh, you are far off then. Kurt Angle is older than you.
No.
Oh, sure he is.
Yes.
I bet
Kurt Angle
right.
might be pushing 60. He's probably 55
really?
At least.
Then maybe I'm thinking Brock Lesnar.
Kurt Angle is 56.
I was thinking John Cena, but I always thought he was a real wrestler at some point. And at some point, guys like The Rock and John Cena became movie stars, so they were so big that they left WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And are we saying now that the WWE is so big that even if you're a movie star, you're still in it? Why are these guys back in it? Why is The Rock in the WWE again?
I honestly think it's just an appreciation of the roots.
But, I mean, they...
It's a new era, the Netflix era.
Well, I mean...
A lot of money being thrown
okay,
around.
Okay, so I don't think it's appreciate. I know Vince McMahon's out, and I watched the Mr. McMahon. You guys watched Mr. McMahon on Netflix?
Yeah, I did watch that.
I did not.
It's uncomfortable.
It was so good, I thought.
Really good, but yeah. I mean,
Kyle doesn't watch anything except 90 Day Fiancé.
That's correct.
Love is Blind. Love is Blind, 90 Day Fiancé.
I was told that the Mr. McMahon clip really didn't, it was kind of like the Arnold Schwarzenegger Netflix documentary. It was one-sided. It didn't even address the...
No,
they addressed it a little bit, but they didn't dive in deep enough.
Yeah, I heard.
They addressed it. I was told
it was kind of like a skim over quick. It didn't really go into the fact that he basically had to sell shares or sell.
No, they went, it did. It went. I mean, it was him being interviewed and then he kind of was stopped at the end because stuff was falling apart around him, but... No, I mean, they looked at all sides of him. I think it's a really good watch. And I'm not a big wrestling fan, but I think it's a really good watch. But to me, you look at guys like that, it was okay, I've made it into mainstream, big-time entertainment. I'm hosting, the Kids' Choice Awards on Nickelodeon now, right? I'm no longer the wrestler guy, but I leveraged wrestling to be this movie star. So now I'm done with wrestling. But it feels like now wrestling is big enough that once they've hit it to the biggest spot, wrestling is now back to being part of what they're doing.
Yeah. The Rock, I really don't know what the case is there. He's been in and out for the last 2 years. Cena's on his quote-unquote farewell tour, so this will be his final year wrestling. And a heel turn is exciting, Craig. It's the biggest story in sports, I'm telling you.
When did this word heel become a thing? This was not
heel and babyface.
I don't even know what babyface is.
Wasn't that when Hulk Hogan? I thought that was the big thing.
But they didn't call it turn heel. They said he became a
bad guy?
Yeah, the bad guy. I forgot there's an actual term for being a villain. He became a villain. Heel is this new term you young kids got.
I don't think it's that new.
I've never heard turn heel. I used to watch wrestling back in the 90s, and I never heard about, when Stone Cold Steve Austin turned heel or when The Rock turned heel back in the day when he joined the Nation of Domination. Like I didn't hear a Bret Hart turning heel. I never heard that.
Yeah, I think it's always been a thing.
But they didn't say turning heel, did they, Craig, when you were young?
I don't know. But I know that, you know, Endeavor bought the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're now owned by, like, IMG, which is like a huge talent agency. So that's what I'm wondering if it is now, if it's like all these stars work for IMG, who's this big talent agency. So now you don't graduate from the WWE. The WWE is something that your agents own, so you're just going to be part of it now.
Well, they've been part of that. Rock has been coming back now for like the last
Yeah, and he's on the board. But the difference of our brains is phenomenal, because I don't go to, okay, why are they here? I go to, oh my God, John Cena just kicked that man with the sun don't shine.
Right, because you think it's like a real sport.
No, I don't. I understand there is storylines and we have predetermined outcomes, but it is still sports entertainment, and I am still entertained.
No, I know, but like, where I go to is like, how are these guys who used to be too big time to be in this again? And I think the answer is it makes sense that it's now owned by a talent agency.
Well, it's been like that before that it was owned by a talent agency. Like, I'm telling you, the Rockets come back many times. What confuses, I think, us, Craig, is because we've been so far away, is that nowadays people fully understand it's fake. And it's not real. So for us, if The Rock left, The Rock
left. Don't call
left,
it fake. Don't call it fake.
It's talented individuals who are doing scripted things. It's fake. It's a show. And so I think what is hard for you and I, Craig, is like, wait a minute. He's going back and forth. Like, how can he be in a movie and then all of a sudden he comes back out of nowhere? Like, usually they wrestle until it's almost over.
Well, it's also just thinking like, hey, these guys are making like a lot of money now. Are they really going to mess with their bodies and stuff by messing around wrestling? Which is impressive. So good for WWE and their Netflix deal and everything they're doing right now. So I'm still not in on it, but I respect it.
We'll get you there.
I'm saying I respect it. I'm all the respect to
Craig is almost 50. I don't know if you have a chance to get him in there.
Why'd you have to put his business out on the street like that, Kyle?
That's not new. You're all. I mean, you got a couple years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we were just talking about if I was gonna be the Golden Bachelor. Come on. I mean,
who was talking about that?
Alex. Sorry.
Oh, that was off air.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You could be the Golden Bachelor.
We're cooking something up.
Yeah. Oh,
you turned 50 this year?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you doing?
Nothing. What, I'm like a child. I need a birthday party.
Oh, it's kind of a big one, isn't it?
Big deal, you silver fox, you.
No, we're just every day is one day older. One day smarter, one day better, one day tougher.
Oh, you got to throw a birthday bash.
Just try to get one day younger every day.
We will throw the Sunday Karma birthday extravaganza.
Yeah, we will in July.
Hey, you have the same birthday as my mother. How fun is that?
I'll be off that whole month.
I was going to say, typically he may be gone in July. You may be joking now, but typically he is gone.
Got a lot of travel going on then.
It's a Friday?
I don't know.
Friday birthday.
One out of seven choices. So
is it the 11th?
It is.
Yeah, because it's, yeah. Ah.
The big, 50's not that big.
50's big.
50 is big.
What'd you do for 40?
Just went to work. Did my thing.
So you're not a celebratory type.
No. I want to celebrate, like Thanasis just said, on Black History Always with Giannis. I want to celebrate all the little wins. Right? So every day is a day to celebrate.
I don't need to celebrate. Your birthday's a big one, though. But see, Craig, that's why me and you click. Is because why would I not work on my birthday? It's another day. I mean, it's my day, but, you know, it's still another day.
Yeah, exactly. But what I don't want to do is take away if other people want to, you know, enjoy. I'm not trying to, like, take away their enjoyment. So
if people want to enjoy your birthday, you're not going to tell them not to.
Well, you want to celebrate. As an example, like, you wouldn't be invited. So, like, you can't just decide.
That's right. You would be invited? Would I be invited?
No.
Wow.
Not after. I mean, you haven't invited me to anything since I've known you.
Craig, I don't invite anybody anywhere.
That's true, actually.
Okay.
He's got a point there.
Okay.
If you want to, you know what, Craig? You are welcome to sit on the couch with me and my lady as we watch 90 Day Fiancé tonight at 7 p.m.
Okay.
That could actually be an experience.
Craig, I know we got to get to stuff, but we have decided that we're going to have this house swap. Remember you offered a house swap the last time you joined Kyle Brush?
I actually offered that.
Strofe? Didn't he say?
I did not actually offer.
Craig, you offered disgust. That.
You offered a house swap.
Let's go to the tape.
When it gets real, now you don't want to live with the
tape. I don't know that he offered the house swap, but he offered us to come over.
Let's go to the tape and let's hear what I offered. A great producer, I'm sure, would have it ready to go. So this is courtesy of Kyle Bruston-Norman. This is Kyle's alleged house swap that I offered.
Hey, Kyle, you want to swap out houses? Yeah, Craig, I definitely do.
This is not me. No, was that your Eddie Murphy white voice?
No,
what's going on?
That's
come
my
on
Craig
now.
Voice. Hey, Kyle, you want to swap out houses? Craig, are you sure?
Voice,
you can, you can do a better Craig than that.
My voice is way higher than that. It sounds
hey,
much
Kyle.
More feminine.
Hey, Kyle, do you want to swap out houses? You never invite me over. Craig, you don't want to come to my house. It's like our house. Ah, you never invite me. Okay, you know what? You can live in my little house, and I'll go to your house. Okay. All right. There we go.
That was better.
No.
That was a good Craig.
Honestly, though, Craig.
That was fake.
What we want to do is this, is that we should go to your house, do KBN Live from your house, right? And we have a sleepover. We stream it all. We have all the different Ooh. Teammates from, you know, ESPN Wisconsin Universe, 620 WTMJ, 1017 The Truth. Have people pop in throughout the night, and we stream it. You know, shoot some hoops. You know, we maybe have a punt contest to see who can punt it as far as possible into Lake Michigan. See what happens.
Environmentally, I can't.
Craig, let's get in. Let's be real. Okay, it's a new time. Nobody cares about the environment right now. Okay?
Oh, really?
So yeah. Footballs, anything in the environment, it doesn't matter. So I'm not gonna sit there and let being PC culture keep me from putting the ball into Lake Michigan.
And we're ripping on Snow Woke also here. So.
Snow Woke? Who's Snow Woke? You're Snow Woke.
No. There's this new Snow White live action movie.
Oh, is she black?
And she's Hispanic.
Oh,
Snow Woke.
Okay. So people not very happy with that.
I wouldn't be happy either that this fictitious character was Hispanic.
How could you?
You're getting angry about that too now, aren't you, Kyle? So somehow this was our way of saying that after what I saw on Thursday night in Milwaukee with one of the two teams that I think everybody recognizes could come are most likely to come out of the West, that the Milwaukee Bucks are not only back, but they got a chance. And I see things listed like 40-1 and all that, and the Bucks have no legitimate chance. I'm seeing with my eyes, don't let this team stay healthy. Because if they do, this team's got a chance. Don't you think, guys?
This team's got a chance. I mean, it's impressive how well they are playing right now, especially without a guy like Bobby Portis. But post-trade deadline, I think we were all left with the question of, is this going to work? And the early returns tell us, I think it's working.
Now, Dallas has no big men, right?
You know,
Lively out, Gafford out. Anthony Davis out.
Some guy named Brown was in.
He was on a 10-day contract.
Oh, that's who else?
Yeah,
who is this?
It was his 10-day contract, and it was already up, so he knew that was his last game of his career, basically. And so he was balling last night against the Bucks.
Yeah, he had a nice game.
But the thing is that, more from Thursday, we saw the Bucks against who people say is the best player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not arguing with Nikola Jokic anything about him. And Bucks look really good on Thursday night, and they look athletic, and they look like they can get you in different ways. And Dame Lillard only took 9 shots.
Haven't unleashed Dame and Giannis because you know, minutes restrictions, so they really haven't been released like that since the All-Star break. And there's just this new sense of energy that Kevin Porter Jr. in that second unit, when he comes in, he is legitimately, he's just dynamo. He brings a lot of energy. Kyle Kuzma, his versatility where he can move around. I mean, I still feel like he needs to find a rhythm and a groove, but defensively, he's been very active. And think about what we swapped out for him. Marjan was giving you nothing. Chris Middleton was limited, very, very limited. Now you actually have guys who can contribute and guys who can actually create their own shot. The Bucks now have multiple guys who can create their own shot. And Jericho Sims, the worst thing for the Bucks is, yes, we lost Bobby Portis, but now Jericho Sims is actually getting some type of minutes, and he's being active, right? He's playing a role. Now, I'm not sure, in the playoffs he's going to have a role when Bobby Portis comes back, but he's showing that, again, that was a serviceable addition. So I got to give it up to John Horst, who basically made something out of nothing.
Well, and you think about Jericho Sims, like, maybe he's not needed in a playoff series, but then maybe there's another series where he is needed.
Right.
Right? Like based on matchups. And that's where having that depth, like Andre Jackson right now.
I was just about to bring him up.
Is not really,
he's not seeing the floor.
Ever since the dunk contest, he ain't seen the floor.
Yeah, the dunk contest killed him.
Yeah.
So he's not seeing the floor.
Not with that embarrassment.
AJ Green was playing 30 minutes pretty much every night off the bench. You know, there's so many different ways and different combinations it feels like with this team right now. And guy like Gary Trent Jr., right? Guy like TP, there's a lot of different ways this team can beat you and this team can play. And as we said, it's not Dame feeling like he needs to shoot 25 times a game, right? It's what is needed to win this game, and that's what both Dame and Giannis seem committed to doing, which is the mark of a team that's got a chance. That's what I'm saying right now. This team has got a chance.
They've got a chance. I mean, what is it now? Six of their last seven they've won, I think it is, out of the All-Star break?
Yep. Four in a row, then a loss at Houston.
Which was a weird end of that game.
Offensively, they couldn't get anything going. Remember, Giannis was on a minutes restriction.
Yep.
The fact that the team was able to play that good a defense against Houston in Houston again. I know we lost the game. It came down to the last shot where we had an opportunity. I was still impressed with that. This Milwaukee Bucks team, like you said, Craig, you have two of the best players in the world. If the other guys around them can continue to elevate their play, this Milwaukee Bucks team can be scary. Heck, without Giannis on the court, they don't – I mean, obviously you want Giannis, but you see a little bit more free flow with some of the guys without Giannis on the court in that second unit. So I'm impressed, very impressed.
I mean,
are they just proving what we've always known, though? If Dame and Giannis are healthy together, they're one of the best teams in the league. Well, that's something we kind of have always operated with the idea of. The only issue is we haven't seen that a whole lot the last 2 years with both of them healthy.
But I think there's a few things. One, you know, Giannis was +8 against Denver, so that means they were +1 without Giannis on the court because they won that game by 9 points.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, Jokic had his minutes matched in that game. You know, every time he came in, Brook Lopez came in.
Mm.
Every time he went out, Brook Lopez went out. Like, Brook Lopez is like, I don't know, what is he, in his 18th year in this league? And there he was playing 37 minutes against a three-time MVP. And sure, the guy went like 10 of 15 and had a triple-double, but...
Still got his.
But Brook did a really good job. Like, this is a team that I think matches up with just about everyone in unique ways. And you guys both said it. I think the trade to bring in the versatility of Kuzma, KPJ, even Jericho Sims, when you're looking at teams like the Cavs and like the Celtics at the top of the East, it gives you a lot more versatility defensively. So really exciting. We'll talk more about it. We will talk about the Green Bay Packers. We will have our 7-11 and more as we roll on. It is Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Keisha, is it Ashley? Was it Danny? Is it party? Where's the function?
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Baby girl. Baby girl.
Mustard! This is Drake.
I know.
How do you know this is Drake?
Because you said it was Drake.
Oh, I did talk to both of you. You
got to talk to Jason Wilde about what's going on in the NFL coming up soon. It always cracks me up. Like, it's like the best players in the league get traded for like a fourth round pick. And they're like, fourth round picks, fifth round picks, like, are nothing in the NFL. But like you could get like right now, it's like, oh, I don't know. You know, we're building our entire future around Jordan Love. Oh, yeah, if someone offered us a 2, yeah, we'd trade him in a heartbeat for a 2. Because a second-round pick, the 53rd pick in the draft, oh, yeah, that could be like a backup guard.
Yeah, that kid out of Texas is going to be really good.
Yeah, like I do not understand. And I get that people think it's like, oh, well, if you have people on cheap contracts in the NFL, but like the NFL's salary cap grows so quickly
all the time.
Because they make so much money on their TV money that, like, that's never ends up mattering. But we'll talk to Wilde about that in less than 10 minutes because I want to get Wilde's take on this whole Deebo Samuel thing and if this means the Niners are rebuilding.
They got a fifth-round pick for Deebo?
Yeah.
I mean, that's great, though. That sets the market for a guy like DK Metcalf, who the Packers are rumored to be in talks for.
Yeah.
Fifth round pick is nothing.
Yesterday was a good day. Shout out to the Washington Commanders for actually understanding they have a window.
Before you
capitalize.
But hold on. Before you say it's a good day, doesn't that make you worry a little bit as a Packers fan? The Commanders were just in the NFC Championship game. They have a first-year quarterback who's only going to be a second-year quarterback, still on a rookie contract.
Oh,
it's a team that's going to be active.
Here, I'm going to make
a team that's going to continue to get better.
I don't think this is a bold prediction. I'm just going to throw this out there. The Commanders won't punt in 2025.
Zero times?
Zero punts this year.
Would they wouldn't roster a punter then, would they?
No, I don't think they will. I think Deebo Samuel is going to take the punter's roster spot. I would expect them to not have a punter in 2025.
That is a bold prediction.
There's
no reason for it.
There's no reason for it. Because they rarely get to fourth down, and when they do, they just go for it every time. Do you know he's had more games in his career already where they didn't turn the ball over and they didn't punt than Tom Brady, Joe Montana, and Peyton Manning combined?
Really?
Yeah. I'm telling you, they're never going to punt.
You love you some Jaden Daniels, as you should. They're obviously, I get what you're trying to get at, but I just want to get back to the fact that I like what the Commanders did, and hopefully that sets the tone, because the Packers should understand that the Commanders are, we'll see if they can repeat what they did, but they're trying to build, they're trying to
Packers
capitalize on
a rookie.
You need to have some type of offense.
Is going to score a touchdown and get a two-point conversion on every possession. So the only way you're going to win is if you're going to stop that team. They're going to average. I think just average conservatively 72 points a game.
If they get
because they're
going to
have nine possessions a game. Now they won't have nine. They'll extend these long possessions like they do. So I think they'll just have seven possessions a game. So they'll average 56 points because they'll average 8 points per possession.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
But for real though, this should be good because the Green Bay Packers have a competition with the Commanders. They have competition with the Lions. They have competition with the Vikings.
They didn't even have good players last year.
Who, the Packers?
No, the Commanders.
They had Terry McLaurin.
They were just old.
They had Terry McLaurin, who is awesome.
But their D-line, their D-line is pretty good.
No, I'm talking about their offense.
Zach Ertz.
Terry McLaurin is no joke.
Yeah, Scary Terry is really good.
He's legit. Now, Zach Ertz is maybe above average tight end. Maybe top 10.
Yeah, exactly. That's still good.
Became this unstoppable force.
Without having a legitimate running back.
Without their second, third, fourth, fifth running back. Austin Eckler had been pushed aside. Brian Robinson Jr. Think about what their roster was. And then that offense. And by the way, they have this brilliant offense coordinator. Oh, yeah, he looked real brilliant as the head coach in Arizona.
He's not a good head coach. But here's what you have to understand. This is why, again, Packers fans should be applauding this deal, because you have to keep up with the Joneses. So the Green Bay Packers, I believe where there's smoke, there's fire. The Packers contacted an agent or somebody. There's been some type of conversations or some type of interest with DK Metcalf. Will it happen? I do not know. But what the Packers have to do, looking at this offseason, you got to get yourself a veteran wide receiver, and there's guys to be gotten. And so you see, it just takes a fifth round to get Deebo. If you want, I'm not sure you're able to get Devontae or not.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the three of y'all, because y'all the ones who are Packers fans here. Well, Wildy's not, but he's the Packers expert. I'm going to give all of you the potential names, and you're going to tell me if you think that acquiring that person puts the Packers in the mix to win the NFC. We'll talk about that with Jason Wilde as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. .45 ESPN on Alexa is presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Rapping on me, I'm down a bit. Pretty ass point on my drink. I just stared a bit. I got several rooms filled with clothes. Sauce on the way in this bit. Yeah. And talking about no TV show when I said I got bear in this bit.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Sunday Karma with you, Alex Stroh, Kyle Wallace, Craig Karmazin, Jason Wilde joins us as we're talking about the Washington Commanders formally announcing this morning that they will not be carrying a punter on their roster. That confident in their offense going into this year. Jason Wilde, your thoughts?
Well, wait, was that you or Stroh that yelled whatever that was to start the segment? That was you, right?
That was me yelling mustard, yes.
That's what I thought. Okay. Yes. Just wanted to clarify.
So what do you think about this move? I mean, they rarely punted this past year. That they are this good now with Deebo Samuel, they will not need a punter in 2025.
I must have missed that statement. Was that on Truth Social?
Yes, I know. That was just from me. That was from Craig. Oh, that was from Craig Social saying that I don't think the Commanders will punt this year. They punted very infrequently last year, and if Deebo Samuel is healthy, like, I don't believe they had the greatest skill position players last year outside of Terry McLaurin. You know, Zach Ertz is a slightly above average tight end, and they were that good. And we know,
you know,
second year they get studied a little more as quarterbacks, but this Commanders offense is going to be amazing.
It's going to be good. And the key is obviously for Deebo Samuel to stay healthy. I mean, he was in that same draft class as DK Metcalf and Elton Jenkins 2019, but he plays a very physical brand of football, and it has certainly had its taken its toll on him. Now, that said, I always love it when Terry McLaurin comes up, because he should have been, could have been a Packer, and instead, one pick before the Commanders took him, the Packers took Jace Sternberger, the tight end out of Texas A&M. So always think of that when I hear Terry McLaurin's name. Look,
dude, that's that was actually rude of you to do to Kyle. I think Kyle kind of lost that in his mind. Kyle, you're now going to think about that all the time. I just saw that process in your head. Every time you see Terry McLaurin, and Terry McLaurin is just now being unleashed now that he's got a real quarterback, and he's been a top 10 type of receiver for the last 5 years.
I would just say the Packers weren't going to draft him, right, Jason? It just so happened that he went before. They weren't like, oh, that's our guy, and he got drafted, and they chose Jace after that, right?
Yeah, no, he went after they took Jace.
Oh, so after? Oh, that's even worse.
So clearly it really processed in his head.
Yeah. I thought he said a pick before and a pick after.
No. He was very much available.
Oh, he had a pretty good career.
That's kind of why it's got to hurt. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What were we doing?
There's so many of those in the Goody tenure. It's not great.
I mean, every team has.
Yeah,
has
the one that got away. But it feels like it's been extra emphasized for Green Bay just because there's been so many years where they're a player away, it feels like, from getting back to the Super Bowl. And, I mean, there's a million examples of it in the last half decade.
Jason has heard me mock the NFL for now 20 years, what I was just saying earlier about how, oh, my God, I don't know if we can give up a fourth-round draft pick. That fourth-round draft pick could be a guard 6 years from now. Like, I don't understand why players are so underrated and draft picks are so overrated. But, Jason, what the Commanders did, to me, seems like a very – I know it's expensive from his salary, but with the salary cap going up and then having a quarterback on a low-salary contract, it seems like a low-risk move to get a lot better for an offense that was as good as any offense in the NFL at the end of the season.
Yeah, and I'm always fascinated by the flip side of that, too, like that there are teams that are willing to give up players. It feels like the cost of acquiring veteran players because of the salary component has actually gone down in terms of what you have to give up as far as draft pick compensation. So, you know, I brought up DK Metcalf earlier. There was obviously some buzz because of a report from a Seattle area reporter that there was an offer on the table from the Packers for DK Metcalf. Then there were other reports disputing that they'd even had conversations. Bottom line is that, you know, when I mentioned DK Metcalf earlier, that was in part because Goody brought him up when we were talking about at the end of the season. I'd asked him a question about, you know, how much does luck play into the draft, because you've had some really good drafts, but I look at a guy like Jaden Reed, I said to him, and you traded back twice in the second round and still got Jaden Reed. Like, he could have easily gone in the interim when you traded back. There was the one time they traded back with the Lions, so the Lions could take who's the safety strophe, the Brian Branch, and then they traded back a second time. And he brought up the story of the 2019 draft when he had Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, and Elton Jenkins as the three guys that he really liked in the second round. Deebo Samuel went before. They took Elton Jenkins. They also really liked Drew Locke that year. They were ready to take him at number 12 before they took Rashawn Gary. Drew Locke went at 42, I think. and then Elton went at 44. DK Metcalf lasted till the final pick of the second round. Mm-hmm. So now the idea of being able to acquire him, I'm curious, because the one thing I didn't like about that report, which I didn't find believable, was that they would give up the 23rd overall pick for him. I don't think that's how this works anymore. I think while he is obviously in a different point in his career.
Wait, and Jason, you're saying the report was that the Packers put that offer on the table to Seattle that included their first-round pick?
No, no way.
Yeah, and that's what I said. There's no way that – now, if they're giving up a three and a wide receiver like Romeo Doubs, slightly more believable for me. But the bottom line, what I'm trying to get at is to your point about not having a punter, the Packers need to add pieces, especially with the uncertainty with Christian Watson's availability. They need to add pieces to be able to score points too. And I've been saying this, I know Strofe and I talked about this. This is a pivotal offseason for the quarterback, the coach, the GM. The quarterback obviously needs to make a big jump in year three. We've seen great moments from him. We've seen injured moments from him. We've seen not so great moments from him. He needs to play at a much higher level if they're going to be a Super Bowl team. The coach has to figure out how to get back to having an offense that schemes guys open for his quarterback and marrying that with a stud running back who certainly was fantastic in his first year with the team. And the general manager, who's had some really good drafts and hit two grand slams in free agency, has to keep that up, because despite those good drafts and despite those pickups, they're not good enough right now to compete for a championship. He's the one who put it out there. We have to ramp up our urgency. It's time for this team to start competing for championships. That includes him. And so whether that's acquiring weaponry on offense or another edge rusher that'll not only be very good for them, but also help Rashawn Gary be better for them. Goody's got to have a big offseason here. And we heard Rob Domofsky say on our show on Friday that he's talked to a few agents that were at the scouting combine, and they told him your team, meaning the Packers, is going to be a player in free agency. So we've got about 8 days until free agency, the negotiating window opens. Can't wait to see what they've got on tap.
All right. Well, I said I'd roll through some receivers and give you all the chance to pick at them. We'll do that next segment. But I got to ask you this, Jason, because I guess my evaluation of the NFC is very different than the gambling odds, because the 49ers have a better odds than the Packers to win the NFC. Whereas with this Debo move and stuff, like, I don't see that from them. Then you have two teams who I thought were better than the Packers in the Rams and the Vikings, who now were like messing around with their food in terms of their quarterbacks, like that they don't even know that they're that good. And I also felt like a healthy Tampa Bay Buccaneers are better than the Packers. You know, they didn't have their receivers healthy this past year, and they were as good as the Packers seemingly without, you know, any healthy wide receivers for a while before Mike Evans came back. So are you saying that you think this is the fourth best team in the conference somehow? Because I don't know. Like, I think, you know, Philly, Detroit, and Washington have to be the top three, right? So are you saying you think this right now could be the fourth best team, or are they closer to eighth than fourth?
No, I'm not saying they're the fourth best team. I'm saying they got to get their you-know-what together to keep up with the Joneses if they want to be the fourth best team or better. Or, I mean, look, first of all, San Francisco, you know, Tausch's line about never underestimate the heart of a champion. I know they've only been NFC champions, not Super Bowl champions. They've been to a couple of Super Bowls under Kyle Shanahan. Their injury epidemic that they dealt with last year, I'm not going to write them off for 2025. Like, I understand Debo Samuel moving on from him. I don't think that came as a surprise by any means. But
you're saying Jennings proved last year like he's a plenty good second receiver. Mm-hmm. He could block. He could do everything, and he could actually catch the ball. We found out last year.
Right, and Kittle's still a good player. And depending on what you think of their quarterback, I don't have a problem with the projection being there. That's why I'm saying this offseason is so pivotal for the Packers, because as good as they've been unexpectedly in 2023 and more expectedly in 2024, they're still not there. And, you know, you could say, oh, it was 16-10 in the fourth quarter, as I have said multiple times, against the team that went and won the Super Bowl. But you saw how Jalen Hurts played in that game, coming off of a three-game layoff because of a concussion versus what he did in the Super Bowl. Like, the Packers stayed in a game where they turned the ball over four times because their defense played really well against a quarterback who was not playing the way he was playing subsequently. So I don't think that they're light years away from the top echelon of the NFC, but at the same time, we have to be honest and take the green and gold glasses off and say, look, what they made the playoffs each of these 2 years as the seventh seed. Now, would they have been the sixth seed if they had beaten the Bears? Well, no, because Washington also won. So it wouldn't have really mattered what they did against the Bears. So they made the playoffs with a seed that hadn't been there previously in years prior. So they're not, it's not like they've arrived yet. They've got a lot of work to do. I like where they're at. I don't love where they're at. That's why I think this offseason's important.
We will see what audacious swings the three of you want the Packers to take when we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
For the night, take your time, get your life.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
KVN seems to be happening here. What's going on? Strophy, Ben Brust is here?
Yeah, I think he's just here to support me.
Why is he in that studio and not this one? I've never seen him in there before.
He's never seen himself in that one either. He's very confused by all the buttons and the shiny lights.
No, he's actually just making fun of you and your running.
Oh, is that what
he
was doing?
He smells.
Yeah, he was making fun of your running.
Oh, now he's running here.
He smells.
You're not moving your arms fast enough.
So, Ben Brust joins us now. So, Strophy ran the shuttle run, or what was that? What's that called?
Three-cone combine drill.
Kyle's a bad producer. You turn your mic on.
Three-cone combine drill.
Okay, the three-cone combine. That was the most embarrassing, and I know a lot of people have seen it. Some haven't. Where's the best, easiest, and quickest place to see this on social media?
At ESPN Milwaukee on Twitter. It's the video with 750,000 views.
Up to 750?
No.
It's pretty close.
No, it's not.
It's over six. I haven't looked in a few days.
But I feel like everyone does stuff like this around the country. This isn't unique to us. Are you saying that
it's
Alex's
unique to Alex
style
Strophy.
Of running?
Wait, have you not seen the video, Craig?
I've seen it.
He talked about it on a company call.
Yeah.
I was doing a show.
Truth to Power.
I was doing a show for Friday.
You don't have to mock Truth to Power.
No, wait, we have to mock Truth to Power.
Jason Wildy's time right now.
Jason wants to know this.
Jason wants to know this as well. Just so everyone knows who we have here. It's Craig Karmazin, Kyle Wallace, Alex Strofe, Ben Brust, Jason Wildy. Okay, Ben, back to you.
So from 2 to 5 on Kyle Brust and Ortman, we love Kyle. But there has been many times where he has said, "What up, Truth Nation?"
Like on the air on KVN. ESPN.
Well, yeah. You got to do a little live bit, reads.
Yeah, KVN
for
Nation.
Partners.
2 days in a row.
Yeah.
The partners don't know Truth Nation. We could cut out "What up, Truth Nation?" KVN Nation.
But we're trying to reach the audience.
Wait, but Truth, I mean, are you saying you don't want Truth Nation, who are fans of Kyle, to then listen to KVN?
Craig, one thing I will say, Ben doesn't want.
I'm not saying Ben doesn't want any black people. I'm just saying he just doesn't want Truth fans. Kyle, is that your take?
I ain't saying.
How many times he said he's embarrassed to plug KVN on Truth Nation because the producers think he's Mr. ESPN.
Oh, is that because Kyle doesn't want black people to listen to KVN?
Yes. It's a Kyle thing.
So it's a racist off.
Kyle,
right now.
What is going on? Jason, what's your take on all of this?
I'm not going anywhere.
I knew that was going to be the answer. Kyle, what's going on here?
Man, they love, listen, when the truth hurts, they start telling lies. That is an absolute lie. I never once said I was embarrassed at all. I simply said that they give me stuff whenever I start saying 800-99, and then Zach goes, bang. And so I'm like, oh, my bad.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, yeah, but you don't say, oh, I'm sorry, that's for the 2 to 5 show.
I sure do.
You should tune in after Truth to Power.
He plugs Truth to Power every single day on KBN. I listen to Truth to Power most days. I've never once heard him plug KBN.
You guys are wild. I mean, we got sources everywhere. I plug KBN, but
okay,
I don't plug KBN
so
every day.
On the @ESPN Milwaukee social media, you could see Alex Stroh's combine. And what led to you doing the combine thing? Was it just because you had Brad Nortman's combine jersey?
Well, that came after the fact. Okay. So Joshy and I and Mr. Irrelevant, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 12:30, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. We were discussing that Goody, although he doesn't look at RAS scores, it's seemingly true that he loves high RAS scores. So I was curious.
What does RAS mean?
Relative athletic scores.
Okay,
so you calculate all the scores from all the different drills of the combine, and it pops out with a score amongst every other person that has
now,
been drafted.
Now, did you try to lift
position.
The weights and all that? Or is that
no,
not
I skipped the bench. I'm not okay. throwing up 225, Craig. Okay. Believe it or not.
So you're zero reps on 225.
Zero reps on the bench. And so I wanted to calculate mine as a punter to see, like, in terms of other punters in the league, where I would calculate. My score was 0.00.
Yeah, that's not good, huh?
But you beat one person in the NFL draft combine in one thing, and it was a defensive tackle.
As a defensive tackle, I scored 0.01 due to my 10-yard split in the 40-yard dash being fast. Faster than one person.
So 10.
Who was 340 pounds.
That's correct.
So only 10 of your yards of your 40 yards?
That's correct. The 10-yard
split. Got him the point one.
Which 10
point
yards?
0-1. Point 0-1.
Was it your first 10 or your last 10?
My first 10.
Your first
10. Once he got past 10, he was the same speed 10 yards through 40 yards.
13 miles an hour isn't bad. We calculated it. I clocked out at about 13.1 miles per hour.
And how old are you?
26, Craig.
So do you think as a 49-year-old?
Yes.
You
yes.
Think,
whatever you're finishing the sentence with, the answer is yes.
Jason, we went through everyone on ESPN Wisconsin that is talent or producer.
Wait, you think Jason, I don't think Jason could beat him in the 40.
No, Jason, you probably
could. At this point, you got to see the whole combine.
I saw the three cone.
Yeah, you got to see the whole thing.
His 40 was a
6.28. 6.28.
I believe
Jason, do you think you could beat a 6.28 in the 40?
No, probably not.
I think you could.
Yeah, wait, you got to see the video.
I know the video makes it worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
You'll grow so much confidence, Jason, by seeing the broad jump, the vertical jump.
Jason, have you watched Alex's full combine?
I have. And again, I would like to reiterate my position on this, which is I have nothing but absolute respect for Stroh that he did this. Knowing the kind of athlete he is, and he still did it.
I don't think he knew he was that bad.
No, I did.
He didn't know he was that
bad. Maybe not that bad, but I knew I was bad, as I've told you all multiple times.
But Stroh actually took that as a compliment for Jason. From Jason, that would have been the ultimate like knife going in deeper to me.
Nah.
He's like, knowing the type of athlete you are, the fact that you were willing to do that really gave me respect.
I have always known this about myself. Everybody else is just finding out now.
I knew you were unathletic. But I had it on loop on my monitor.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Because I couldn't get like every time I watched it probably 1,000 times.
I think the thing about Stroh, like most people in Wisconsin, like if you look at it statistically, like have some level of obesity. Like that's the stats. Like Stroh has this like aerodynamic looking body, right?
He's like 6'3" lean, long guy.
Like yeah,
I'm not athletic. Like if
I went out with him somewhere, it's like, oh, there's my buddy. He's in the PLL. Like people would believe he's like a professional lacrosse player. Like,
I could see that,
right? Don't you think?
He also walks like a normal person. It's not like he like fumbles over his walking.
No, that's true.
The way I describe the three cone drill is the way his arms are moving versus his legs. The brain is firing to the arms, but it's not getting down to the legs.
Yeah.
And it's just not like cohesive.
I mean, the fact that you have to weave between two cones broke my brain. It melted my brain.
The cone he went around was like the moon orbiting Earth.
Now, did you get to practice this before you did it live?
The video that everybody watched was my first attempt.
See, that I'll give you some credit for also.
The second attempt, I shaved a second and a half off, which in most running drills would be incredible.
But it's still the slowest time in combine history.
It's still the slowest time in combine history.
When you shave a second and a half.
Yeah, I mean, in combine history... Like, I mean, these are elite athletes. I think it reminds us of how unbelievable these 350-pound guys are, right? Like how.
See, now you're making him feel better again.
I felt fine the whole time. Again, Benny, I've always known this. But so, I knew so it was going to be a train wreck.
Jason, this was a triple digit video on ESPN Milwaukee's Twitter. This, you would say, is better than somebody, you know, showing up in a jersey at, you know, Lambeau Field talking to the head coach hitting triple digits, right? This one you're okay with.
Jason was more okay with your Green Bay thing than I was. Oh, I was less into that than Jason.
I know you were.
Yeah, yeah. And we're talking about the Matt LaFleur, like you giving him the Aaron Rodgers jersey.
Oh, you didn't like that?
Sign. No.
I mean, I didn't either, but also that's just because I'm a Packers fan, so no, of course I didn't like it.
I'm a Bears fan, and I didn't like it. I just didn't get it.
So the thing is the only person that got it was me, and that's the problem.
That's a huge issue,
I have been watching so much Impractical Jokers where they do punishments at the end, and my punishment in my head was I have to get him to sign the jersey at all costs. And so I kept badgering him until I got what
Does he lack more shame than I do?
Yeah, I just don't like I don't understand like who was winning and who was losing.
That's what
and
I'm
what
saying.
Matt LaFleur, like
nobody won.
Yeah,
everyone. Well, I was the only loser in that video.
No, but then Matt LaFleur, like he's either not tough because he's like signing it. And he's
Homer said Dan Campbell wouldn't sign the jersey.
Or, Dan Campbell would have slapped you.
Right, but then if he slapped you, then he's like, oh, he has no sense of humor that he's doing this and he's not like us like. Tough looking, he's too like good looking to slap you because he's like better looking than you even like so like the whole thing would have been bad for him.
Yeah, I apologize, Jason. It's the Jason Wilde 30 minutes here, usually 40 minutes on Sunday Karma.
Jason, actually, I apologize too because he came in here. I love Ben Bruss, but he stinks. He absolutely stinks.
Played a little pickleball this morning.
Okay, so now it's time. Let's go. I'm going to give you the names. All four of you, tell me if you want them for the Packers. Okay. If you know you can't just have him for an eighth round pick, right? It's not that kind of game, right? So we start with T. Higgins.
Give us an order because there's a lot of us.
Okay, let's start with T. Higgins, Kyle.
We're
going to start with Jason on each of these because Jason will tell you the relative what you need to give up, whether you need to sign him and what you need to. So Jason, to get T. Higgins, what would you need to do?
You're going to have to trade for him because he's going to get franchise tagged. Remember, the Packers got a first and a second for Devontae Adams. So I'm guessing that's around the area that you'd be paying. And then you'd be paying him a monster contract.
Okay, so monster contract plus a first and a second for T. Higgins trophy.
I'm good. Nope. I'm good.
Kyle?
Nope, not going for him.
Rusty?
It's all based off what the Debo compensation is that I'm measuring things off of. This is a no.
So, and Jason, I assume you're a no there?
Yes, very much.
Okay, then let's go to this week's big topic, which at least late in the week was DK Metcalf. Jason, what are you thinking it would take despite whatever the reports are? What do you think realistically it would take?
Yeah, a second or a third plus a wide receiver, I'm guessing. And I just think that Romeo Doubs is the guy that makes sense because he certainly would have value to Seattle. I think he has value to the Packers, but after, you know, the concussions and what happened early in the season, maybe a new, if they're going to trade a wide receiver, I would think he'd be the one that would make the most sense. And then again, they would also have to pay DK Metcalf because he's entering the last year of his contract. So it is not only just trade compensation, but also a big, not as big as T. Higgins contract. So for that reason, I'm out.
Okay, so Kyle, a third round pick, we're going to say, plus Romeo Doubs, plus the monster contract for DK Metcalf.
I am unsure about that monster contract, but a third round pick and Romeo Doubs, if we got to be able to sign DK Metcalf and we got to pay him $28 to $30 million a year, It probably is worth it for the Green Bay Packers. It's not high on my list.
You got to do it long term.
But if
it's not 1 year, right?
I mean,
you're building your team kind of around him at the wide receiver position.
If this is the only option that we have and the Devontae Adams stuff falls through, then yes, I would do it because the Green Bay Packers need to get a number one.
Strovey?
Yeah, I feel similarly to Kyle. It's not number one on my priority list, but I'm open to the idea of it. I think DK Metcalf serves as a longer fix than maybe a Devontae Adams would. I think Devontae's probably a higher end. We'll get to that, but yeah, I think it kicks the can down the road with some of the decision-making in terms of contracts for some of these young receivers. So I'm open to it. I just, it's not number one on my list.
Well, here's why I'm a yes, is because I'm not a full believer in the wide receiver room as is. And to me, if you make this move, you're saying we need to get better right away and for the future based off the young guys that we have now. But we'll get to Devontae. The reason why I would do Devontae is if I'm Goody, if I believe in the young wide receivers, I'm bringing him as a stopgap to be productive. And as we know, year two through three, Devontae was growing like these guys were, and he could bridge that gap for those guys if you believe in the young wide receiver.
Nobody jumps ahead like Ben Brust. He answered DK Metcalf with Devontae Adams.
Well, you both, I mean, everyone wants to talk about Devontae, and we know Jason wants to talk about Devontae. So, Jason, first, let's your thoughts on if it sounds like you're a no on DK, so let's give us the Devontae background here.
Yeah, I think Ben did a really good job of explaining it. I think Devontae Adams, he still had a 1,000-yard season despite playing with bad quarterbacks and missing time in Las Vegas and then the transition to the Jets, which obviously were a dumpster fire. Here's why I think he makes the most sense. First of all...
Wait, first, what would you need to... What would the acquisition look like?
Nothing. They're going to cut him. I'm convinced they're going to cut him. Because, you know, we're about a week out from the league year starting. Those base salaries are tailored to force him to be released. That gives him the choice to go wherever he wants. So I don't think he's going to cost you anything in trade compensation. Now, in terms of the actual cost of him, Adam Schefter said on Jen Gabe and Chewy that he's probably a $16 million a year guy at this point. I think that's very manageable given the Packers' cap position.
Jason, that was pre-cap going up. Do you think that changes at all?
No, I don't think the cap went up that much that it would change how much he would cost. Maybe a little, perhaps. Again, what would change what he would cost is how many teams pursue him, right? Mm. Like, if there are multiple teams that get into a bidding war, then his number would go up. But the point that Ben made is the one that I think is the most important one, and that is that throughout their history, they have always had the established number one who could then kind of cede that position to the next guy that's going to be the number one. And we saw that happening early in the 2017 season. Why I've always gotten after Goody for claiming that if he'd brought Jordy Nelson back for the 2018 season, it would have been such a problem because it would have prevented Devontae from really growing as the number one. Devontae was already the number one. You saw what Aaron Rodgers did in Dallas, winning a game by going back to him after Devontae Adams came back to the huddle and said, let's run that again, but throw a better damn ball this time to this eventual four-time NFL MVP. He was him already. And so Devontae Adams surpasses Jordy Nelson during the 17th season. You bring Devontae back for 25 and 26 during the course of the 26th season, whoever it's going to be, if it's going to be Jaden Reed, if it's going to be Dontavian Wicks, whoever it is, to me, then they have the opportunity to mature into being a one as opposed to having it thrust upon them, which is what's happened ever since they traded Devontae.
So, Jason, I know this was supposed to be pass catchers. Now let's go with the... Max Crosby, Miles Garrett, Bradley Chubb. Is there someone on the defensive side you want to throw out as the potential option? And if so, what kind of compensation would it take to get them?
Yeah, the guy I want is Trey Hendrickson from Cincinnati.
From Cincy. And that's if you're saying if they're going to try to pay all the guys on the offensive side of the ball, then something's got to give somewhere?
Right, and Trey Hendrickson... when you look at his incredible production, first of all, it would require them to say, hey, we're okay with a guy who's 30 years old being a guy that we are willing to acquire. But he would be via trade. His base salary for this year is $15.8 million. They would have to rework that, give him some guaranteed money when they acquired him. I don't know what the price tag would be trade-wise, if it'd be a third, if it'd be more than that. He's a guy that to me feels like he wouldn't cost you as much as a Max Crosby, certainly wouldn't cost you nearly as much as a Miles Garrett would. He's a year older than Myles Garrett, but that's the guy that I like. I have no idea if Cootie likes him. None.
Well, that trade, I think we'd all do, right? I mean, what Jason just outlined, that seems cheap. Oh, Strobe, you don't seem that happy about
no,
that
no, one. No, I do. I was just thinking over here, Jason, and you kind of explained it there at the end, why him over maybe a Max Crosby who's younger, more durable, well, equally durable, I guess, between him and Hendrickson. It just seems like if you're going to take a swing, take the freaking swing, rather than maybe try to go for a guy that's at the end of his prime.
But that
prime.
Didn't even seem like a swing, a third-round pick and pay him a few more bucks?
That's the same thing as DK.
Trey Henderson is really good.
Would they give him up for
that's
a third-round pick? Because they don't want to give him up. I don't know if a third-round pick would do it. If it did, of course I'm in, because it's going to be a first, at least one first, for a guy like Max Crosby. But it sounds like a little bit of a tune change from Jason.
The argument the Bengals would be, hey, our defense, we've had him, and our defense wasn't good enough with it,
right.
So we're going all in on our offense, and we're trying to pay Higgins and Chase, and so we need to cut some salary
but now
somewhere.
Now that I'm not talking to Jason on a weekly basis here in the offseason, the last time we talked, I thought it was Max Crosby for you.
I still really love that idea, right? He comes into a team where he's got two former teammates, and if he has Devontae there, then he'd have three former teammates. He's got Rich Bisaccia. As you mentioned, he's only 27. And again, you know, when you look at his contract, the way his extension with Las Vegas was designed, you're probably going to rework his deal and give him some more guaranteed money too. But again, to me, that question is purely, what is he going to cost in trade compensation? Because if he doesn't cost a one, but he costs you your two and your three, Goody has again said he wants more picks. So I feel like if it's multiple picks for a guy like Max Crosby, I just don't think that that's what he wants to do. I think ideally he'd rather sign a free agent.
Wait, so Jason, you're saying like they wouldn't, if the Raiders called right now and said, hey, you could have Max Crosby for your first round pick, the Packers might say no to that?
I don't know how Goody would respond to that. I really don't. And
wow.
Does any impact on the 23rd pick being in Green Bay have anything to do with this?
He said no. I
can't see Goody caring about stuff like that.
Murphy said he gave him permission to trade it, which the fact that he needs to say that, right. The fact that he even needs to say that is a little concerning, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah.
No, well, I mean, but if there was an owner of the team, they would absolutely need to give the GM permission on
green
that.
Light, yeah.
So, yeah, that's fair, you know, for him to say that. And Goody, I don't know. To me, it seems like we've seen Jason Goody not care about stuff like that, right? He does not care about winning the offseason, winning the draft, winning the public perception when it comes to the team. So I don't see him caring about the draft, but I'm shocked that that's not an automatic that – that to get someone like Max Crosby, you wouldn't be like, oh, yeah, of course he would say yes for a one, but it would take way more than that to get Max Crosby.
Yeah, I don't see why he, if he is indeed available, I would think you'd want to pursue him.
Yeah.
Whether or not Goody is going to and whether he's willing to pay the price, that's the,
And if you're the Raiders, why would you want to give him? Why would you want to give him up if you're,
especially in a new era?
Yeah, if there's a path, I mean, he's the perfect guy brand wise for the Raiders to build around. Like, I don't see why Max Crosby would be on the move at all.
I just look at a team like Washington and I see what they were able to do last year: go from a team that has the number three overall pick in the draft, one of the worst teams in the league, launching themselves into NFC Championship contention. Now this offseason, not waiting around, right? Already going and getting a deal done for Debo.
Plus they're top five in the NFL in cap space available.
And the Packers are 14th, but that's still a lot more room than they typically have. So to go back to something Jason said a half an hour ago at this point, this team is obviously playoff good, but are they championship good? Probably not quite yet. So this offseason seems like the time, if you're going to take some freaking swings, take some freaking swings. And whether that's Crosby or Hendrickson on defense, Devontae Adams seems like he could be and likely will be a free agent option. So I don't want to build up my expectations too high, but it feels like Devontae Adams, Max Crosby, it's possible. Please just take the swing, Goody. At least be in the conversation. That's all I ask.
I'm done with the conversation.
And Jaden Daniels was the second pick, but besides that, it was all good.
Number even more impressive.
Yeah,
number two overall.
There you go. Alex Strofe, Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Jason Wilde. Jason, thanks as always.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
There he is. That's some good stuff. Lots of
That was good radio by you.
Yeah, what was?
A couple resets, get everyone knowing who's in the room.
Right. Yeah.
Why are you telling
me? We had bad music from the producer.
That was a good shock. Yeah, that was shock.
And by the way, it came out hot off the
air. Yes, that's not surprising. But yeah, for a show that is known for being bad, that was actually pretty good.
I think Craig was challenged from Scalzo last week, who did an exceptional job.
Oh, really? That's good. Well, he's Scalzo's good.
Scalzo was bad early on, when he first got back. But
then
now
he got settled.
He got settled. He was cooking.
He's not lying, dude.
I was told that people called in and said that was the best show of 2025. And now I think 2025's best show could have a challenge today.
Craig,
what?
No, Craig, Dirty Al Gallagher.
What do we got coming up next?
No. Dirty Al Gallagher was the show of the
Please tell me you got somebody lined up for coming up next.
Well, we had our 7 at 11, but I don't know if this person is still available. But we'll see. We may have a 7 at 11 at 11:17. Right on time as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.